In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. We've been talking about healing and wounds, and so today we want to talk about the spiritual things, that is, healing on a spiritual level. And basically this means that there are a variety of different things that we have to do in order to overcome any defects in our soul and a few other things. The first is to recognize that there is, of course, grace, which I'll talk about in a minute, but one of them I want to talk about specifically is called the grace of forgetfulness. And basically how this grace works is like this. You ask Our Lady, Our Lord, to send you the grace of forgetfulness, and this grace will actually do two things. The first is it will help you not to recall the thing that's wounding you or that some particular injury someone has done to you, or some sin, especially if it's connected to some violation of the sixth commandment or something of that sort, you just simply won't be in the habit of recalling. So that's the one of the ways. The second thing is it gives a person, if they've committed a sin in that particular area, a keen sensitivity and awareness of the fact that they can fall in that particular area without recalling the particular sins that they've committed in the past. So this particular grace is very important for all of us. Then there is, of course, forgiveness. The fact that without the grace of God, we could have been the cause of our own injury. That is, we always have to remember this, that without the grace of God, we would be injuring other people. So when they injure us, we just have to recognize the fact that this is just simply what's going to happen given the normal course of human beings in this life. Given the fact that we're frail, we're somewhat clueless, we can hurt people unintentionally, sometimes people do it to us intentionally. And also to recognize that we would do even worse things to other people. And so, as a result, if we keep that in mind, then it's much easier for us to forgive people for the things that they have done to us. This is also important for us to reflect upon when we've been injured, the fact that we've injured other people. And so we have to always keep that in mind so that we are able to forgive. And what is forgiveness? Well, we talked a little bit about that already. It's letting loose of the debt that somebody owes to us because they've done something wrong to us. And usually it comes in the form of letting loose of injuring them to make it even, so to speak. Also, we have to look at the injury that people cause to us from the point of view of vicarious suffering. In other words, we have to offer it up. We always have to remember that the natural law commands all of the virtues. And one of the virtues is sacrifice. And one of the parts of sacrifice, there's three parts to every sacrifice, but one of them is offering the thing to God. And that's what we have to do. When we suffer some type of thing, we have to offer it up. Now, I realize that in modern culture, there's kind of a ridicule of the whole notion of just offering it up. You know, in fact, you'll hear people in a kind of a derogatory way say, well, just offer it up, kind of in a laughing kind of a tone. But in point, in fact, that was a call to the virtue of sacrifice, offering the thing up so that we could gain some merit in it. And this is important for us, therefore, to reflect upon the fact that we've injured Christ, that he was the one who suffered and died for us because of what we did. And so, even though he deserved them in no way, we should look upon the fact that even if we didn't deserve to become injured, that we have a Savior, someone who died for us, and so for the very same reasons that we should be offering them up so that we can make use of them. Offer it up for the person who injures you, so that you begin to look at them from the point of view of someone you're helping, which is a more positive attitude rather than just negatively all the time. Also, if we have true charity, that is, if we really love God and love our neighbor for the sake of God, we desire to forgive people. We'll actually want for them not to have to suffer some detriment in order to pay us back, but that they're forgiven of the debt, that their reconciliation occurs, and that we move on. In other words, we desire for this for their betterment. This is why Christ said to do it. Not just, as I mentioned last week, not just so that we can begin the process of healing, but for the other person betterment. And that will help us to have a better view of ourselves, and that itself will begin to help us to heal. So Christ said to do it to preserve charity. And that's in order so that the wounding doesn't perpetuate, it doesn't continue between each people. And this is particularly important in families, among the married, who just, it's inevitable because of human frailty to wounding to occur within a marriage. And so that's why it's so important to just be in the habit of forgiving people. If you've been injured a lot, that's actually a sign that what God wants you to do is to excel in the virtue of charity, particularly in the virtue of clemency, which is forgiveness. That's what he wants you to excel in. We also have to have a willingness to suffer. This itself will keep us from being wounded. If we are wounded, then if we're willing to suffer, it's not as bad, because it's according to our will. St. Thomas says that whenever we do something according to our will, we get a certain pleasure out of it. It's not as bad. And so this is one of the reasons why it's, you know, with respect to obedience, you tell people, well, look, just want to do it. Try and do it. Want to do these things that those above you tell you to do. And then once it's in accord with your will, it's not so bad. But if it's the type of thing, and very often people will spend more energy avoiding just doing what they're told than if they just did it. So the moral of the story is, if we're willing to suffer, then there is actually a virtue. It's called the virtue of mortification. If you're willing to suffer and you develop that virtue, as St. Thomas says again, any time we do anything in accord with virtue, we get a delight out of it. Now, that's if we have the virtue. If we don't, it's painful in beginning stages. But as we begin to develop the virtue, we get a certain delight out of it, so that in point in fact, the willingness to suffer, that is, if we have the virtue of mortification, that when these things happen to us, not that we'll take delight in the injury, but the fact that we are willing to suffer it and immediately turn it over and offer it up will bring us a certain level of delight. We have to be willing to suffer because vicarious suffering helps us to merit grace to heal. Offer up the suffering for your ability to heal. Just ask God, help me to heal. You know, I'm willing to suffer this, but just help me to heal. Next, it helps us to offer it up for others so that we view ourselves as good, or we view the person who has hurt us under the aspect of the good we're doing for them, so that they're not just viewed as evil. In other words, we're helping them in some way. Also, it is a necessary thing to help us to let go of self. In other words, we have to be willing to suffer in order to let go of self. And also self-love, and the comfort with which often is the cause of our being wounded. In other words, someone's taken something from us, or we've lost something, or there's something that they've done to us which has caused us some type of pain and suffering. And so unless we have some virtue which is going to give us some delight or ability to carry this thing, it's just going to wound us. If we love God alone, then when we are hurt, we will not feel the injury, but see it as a means to pleasing him more. And this itself will keep us from being wounded. Because why? We won't see what's happened to us as something that's bad, but as something which can be made for the good and offered up. It doesn't mean that what the person has done isn't bad. It just means that we view it under an ability to gain some merit, to turn it into something that's good, which is what God does with all our injuries. It's what he did for us. Grace itself can heal. It can heal every faculty, every defect of the soul, and therefore every wound that we have, every one of them. Just by a simple grace, God can correct our faculties, which is a curing of the wound. By a simple grace, he can actually remove any disorder that we have towards anything. He can remove the pain through grace. all of this. This is one of the reasons why Our Lady, meditating on her as our mother, is so important, because she's the mediatrix of all grace. Through her motherly grace and her tenderness, she can actually remove our pain and help us to heal so that it's not as painful. This is why we actually say, Sanabiter anima mea, that my soul may be healed, and its prince be healed through grace. Now, of course, there's two kinds of grace. If we've committed mortal sin, we've wounded our soul directly by removing from it the actual grace that we receive. And so the grace that should be there. So by the reception of sanctifying grace, which is the first part of grace, by sanctifying grace, we're healed. Then that our soul is healed from that, on that level. But then there's also actual graces, which enlighten the mind and strengthen the will. So the will, this even the weakness, because whenever we're wounded, we're weak, that will strengthen us so that we can able do the right thing. Christ is, of course, the physician of our souls. Of course, he came principally to save us. But you can't enter heaven without being healed. And by healed, we mean that all your defects are removed, your soul is perfectly corrected, and this is because we can never be in the presence of God without perfect rectitude of the will. Because why? Because of the fact that if you don't have perfect rectitude of the will, you won't be able to love God perfectly. And that, because he is the perfect good, it's not appropriate that you receive the perfect good without being able to love it perfectly. And so we have to be healed. We have to have rectitude of the will. But you never have rectitude of the will. St. John of the Cross says, rectitude of the will, the correction and purification of the will, is the last faculty to be perfected. And so all the other ones first have to be corrected. And so we have to be healed on every level before we can enter into heaven. Some wounds cannot heal if demons are involved. We have to get them out of their lives. And this is done by becoming holy. That itself will help the healing process. And this is because of the fact that demons will pick at our wounds that we have. They'll tempt us to do things to re-wound ourselves, cause us to think about the things that re-wound us. Because as long as our soul is disordered in some way, as long as there's some defect in us, then they can make use of that and hold on to that inside of us. And that's why we have to get them out. So, and they constantly keep picking at us. This is one of the reasons why custody of the mind is a key virtue in healing, because you have to keep your mind off of it in order so that they can't make use of it and drive it. It must be willing to enter into spiritual combat. In other words, you have to be willing to fight them. Christ gave us the example when the demon tempted him, or when St. Peter came, he said, Satan, get behind me. So in other words, we have to be willing to attack them. And this is good practice to begin with. Even if they're not the cause of a temptation or the cause of us thinking about some type of injury, it's good to beat up on them anyway. They deserve it. So the moral of the story is you just turn on them and attack them, tell them, get behind me. And that's one of the things that you can do. Also joining the group Auxilium Christianorum to combat them, to provide yourself a certain level of protection is important. Just as we fight off an enemy and then tend to our wounded in war, so we must fight off our demons so that we can heal. Be aware that demons can use others, such as your spouse, your children, and that type of things, to wound you, to gain a foothold in your heart. That's their goal. If they can't get to you directly, they'll start around you in order to wound you, to drive your situation into the ground, and in order to destroy you externally, so that you will accept the woundedness of that and not be willing to suffer it. And that's another reason why willing to suffer is a certain protection. They'll want you to become wounded from that, and then they've got a hold of you. You must be willing to suffer and to forgive. This willingness to suffer, and forgiveness especially, will crush them, because they never want you to forgive someone. They want you to hold on to it so that it keeps cutting and it gets deeper and deeper so that their hold on you gets stronger and stronger. They will drive you to harbor injuries or wounds to slowly destroy you and gain control over them. So what would we have to do? We have to do the opposite. We have to forgive. We have to be willing to suffer. We have to keep custody of the mind. We have to fight them, basically. And you can ask your guardian angel to help you in that battle. You know, help me to keep these things out of my mind. Help me to forgive. Help to heal my faculties, that is, to direct them, so that instead of being inclined towards the thing which is contrary to what I should do, that is, in thinking about the injury or in getting angry or things of that sort, you incline me to do the right thing. So you can use the angels and the saints to do the opposite of what the demons do. Devotion to Our Ladies of Sorrows and to the wounds of our heart. If we have that, she will shower our heart with graces to heal, to help to bear the suffering, and to give us a willingness to suffer. But in seeing her own heart wounded, it will give us a certain tenderness. And that tenderness, the thing is wounded only when it's tender. But the wound will be a different kind. Instead of being a tenderness because of the fact that we aren't willing to suffer, that is, because we're weak and soft, instead it will give us a strength and fortitude to be able to engage the spiritual battle, but it'll also give us a softness of heart in relationship to God, to be willing to suffer for His sake. And most people are wounded because they're not willing to suffer for God. We should also have a strong devotion to the Sacred Heart and the wound that is in His heart. Devotion to His heart will heal our wounds, but leave us open to being wounded for His sake. But when we are wounded for His sake, we are in fact healed, because of the fact that through being wounded to Him, we are purified of our defects, which itself is a healing process. But we also have to remember that in this life, we will be pierced, if we have a strong devotion to His Sacred Heart, we will be pierced by His love, which means it will be painful. The love that we have for Him becomes painful because the object of our love we don't have fully yet. Now, they talk about how once you reach the transforming union, which is the 9th level of prayer, it's the highest level of prayer, the person up until that point, the woundedness that they have in relationship to God's love becomes more and more acute until they reach that stage. They still suffer not being able to see God face to face, but because they have a constant state of mystical contemplation, there's a certain quiet and a certain ability to remain rested in that constant presence of God and be willing to be in this life as long as He so desires, so that in point, in fact, it ceases being a suffering of a sort. So we must ask God to heal us. Heal us so that we can be pleasing to Him. That's ultimately what it comes down to. God wants not just for us to have a lot of sanctifying grace in our soul, but He wants to be pleased with us on a natural level so that our entire nature is completely rightly ordered. That's what He originally intended. That's what He takes delight in. And that's what He wants for us, to ultimately be perfectly healed. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Amen.